podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Oh, here we go, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Happy Thursday to you. Not the way we wanted to kick off the program this morning, but alas, welcome to baseball season and the ups and downs. And as we always say, enjoy the ride. I'd like to get off that ride in New York. I didn't like that ride very much. It was a great game last night. We will talk about it. We will break it down. We've got some actually like strategic conversations that we wanted to have. I don't understand the reasoning behind some things. I think I do understand the reasoning behind some other things. But Padres fall to the Yankees in a heartbreaker last night. But again, it is May 8th. Still, think about it. In 2 months from now, it'll be July 8th. And they'll have so many more games under their belt. And where will this team be? Man, it's
going to still only be halfway through the season.
Oh, my God.
Point.
I know. Yeah. I know. Last night felt like such a playoff game. It really did. The atmosphere was cranking in New York. The guys were playing hard. It was an electric, electric atmosphere. And you came up short and you lost 2 or 3 to the best team in the AL. But we got plenty of time. Actually, we have a ton of time today. We've got the roundtable coming up after the show. Those losses on a Wednesday always suck the most because you're like, man, not only did we lose, we lost the series. We have the roundtable. We have an extra hour to talk about it and have it fester. And then you have an off day tonight. So it's like, I'm stabbing myself with a pencil. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer of the program. I want to get to Paulie in a second. Paulie's had the week from hell. And we'll talk about that in a moment. Ben Higgins pretty much lives the week from hell every week. The man works incessantly. He's here as well. He's got his new belt on. That's not the new belt.
No, I bought a new belt
yesterday.
That's
old belt.
This is also a new belt that I should have just worn yesterday and forgot.
Do you like new belt or old belt?
New belt is good. New belt is good.
No,
we just looked it up real quick.
Yeah.
I believe the Padres are 5-2 on Wednesdays this year.
5-2.
Yeah,
okay.
They've been good on getaway days. Not a happy flight from New York to Denver last night.
That's what they say. Happy flight, happy wife. Not the saying.
It's
happy wife, happy life.
Right.
How's that going? Because we've got the annual conundrum in my house. Well, the internal annual conundrum. Hey, babe, Mother's Day is on Sunday, big day. What would you like? Oh, very coy. Right? Very coy. Flowers, cards, and just to spend time with you guys. And I look at her, and my eyes pierce through her, and in my internal monologue says, you're lying. You're lying through your teeth. And I'm looking at her trying to take from her brain, what does she really want? What does she want me to know to get her on Mother's Day? And what am I missing?
She wants what every mother wants.
What?
A month off.
That I can't do.
I know.
That I can't do. But this happens every year.
And neither can she.
No. And neither can
no
she.
No one can.
Yeah.
But that's really, I think, what everyone wants. Just that respite from being a parent for just a little while.
Well, see, now I don't agree with that.
You don't
that.
Think so?
Well, I think everybody's different, obviously. But with Hannah, I remember when I got in trouble not too long ago when she was not feeling well. And I said, go back to the room. In fact, why don't you go to a hotel? I'll take the kids. You go to the hotel, sleep, take a hot bath, watch your iPad, relax. I'll take the kids. I do not want to be banished. Do not banish me from the house. I go, but you're sick. Don't you want some time to yourself? So I don't even know, Ben, if I said, hey, babe, I got you 30 days off. She would go, you're not banishing me. I'm not going to make your life easier because I'm not here. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to do that. I don't want 30 days off from my family.
You're banning me? I'm banning you.
Yeah, you're banning me? I'm banning you.
You can't ban me.
So I'm in this thing of, like, which I get into every year, and I'm looking at her going, what do you really want gift-wise, right? Because look, Father's Day comes around. She's already got my Father's Day gifts. She already has my birthday gifts done. My birthday's in July. And I'm looking at her going, a candle? Definitely, I will get her what she's asked for. I feel like once I get her what she's asked for, she's going to go, oh, I guess this is it.
That's it.
Right. And so I'm sitting here going, oh boy, here we go again. So I'm gonna go poke around, see what I can find. I just don't know. I don't know the answer to that question.
There's nothing worse than the aimless walking around of the mall trying to find a gift. Because that is hopeless. There's 100 stores.
Just like
millions of items.
And you think spinning around.
You think like some sort of inspiration is going
sir, can I help you with anything?
I don't really know what I'm looking for.
You go into the store and you actually start thumbing through clothes. Yeah. Would she like this? What am I doing in here? Do I know her size? I don't even know her size. Why am I in here
now? This is a different cut. Does that mean it's a different size?
I'm telling you. I am freaking telling you, dude.
It's women's cut. Some shirts are unisex.
You bring one home and she's like,
oh, you think I'm a fat whale?
Oh, you think I'm a medium? Interesting. You're like, I had no idea. Oh, this cut makes me look big. I had no idea. I think you're so beautiful. Oh, man. All right, Hannah says, to show them how to think.
Take the kids with you, you idiot, is what she said earlier. To show them how to think about their mother.
Oh, she wants you to take them shopping
to pick out a gift.
Because that time will be spent thinking about her and appreciating her.
Okay, all right, I think I understand that now. Yeah. All right. Oh, boy.
That's a good move, actually. You take Bo and
Taylor.
Look
what Taylor picked out for you. Big, giant moo-moo.
What's she going to do?
He did it. He picked it. What are you talking about? Caitlin says I'm clueless. No, I'm not clueless. Here's what I am. I am by the book. If she told me, I want a new dishwasher, I want a new ladder, I want a new pair of pants, I would say, I will get you exactly what you want. Caitlin, you're asking me to look in somebody's eyes, pick up their brain waves, and go, what does she really want? And that is the tough part.
I'm not clueless. I think every mother does love it when their kids like hand make them cards with the crayons. But like my kids would do it. I'd have them do it when they were younger, and they'd scribble for like 4 seconds, something on there. Just
looks like Picasso is on mushrooms. And then here's the mom. She gets it. She goes, "Oh, great, thank you, appreciate it." Caitlin says she's your wife. Look, dude, I know this.
You think that means anything? Caitlin, we don't know how to read women.
No, Caitlin, I've been with her for over a decade. Do you know how many things I've gotten her that she's opened and looked at and went, no, oh, this sucks. I'm taking it back. She returns my gifts. We are a, what's the word I'm looking for, Ben? Like, we are a, I want to say like fun, it's fundamentally, if I want this, I will ask for it and I will get it. So direct.
Yeah.
Like, God, there's a word that's escaping me right now that it really sums it up. But it's like, let's take the guessing out of it, right? If you need a new pair of running shoes, I got you. I know what size your shoes are. I will go get them for you. But she doesn't. She looks at me with this coy smile and says, just flowers in a card. Just flowers in a card is all I want. And I know inside, that's not what all she wants. I know.
Well, I think everyone would want, flowers in a card are great. But if there was that one little extra, something unexpected that she doesn't even know that she wants.
What?
But that's the hardest part.
What in the F is that?
The best gifts are when you get someone something that they didn't even realize they knew they wanted, and then they love it.
Well, again,
but that is so hard.
That's the hard part. Because, again, I try that. And Hannah then will say, why did you do this? I don't like surprises. You know that. Just ask me what I want next time. And I go, but I did. And you said you only wanted flowers and cards. I got you flowers and cards. And now you're looking down your nose at me like I didn't do enough. This is a real thing in my house. It's a real thing in my house. Squirrely at 24. Woodsy, if she says she's thirsty, don't bring her a glass of Eco Water. Just empathize. That's what she wants. But if I say I'm thirsty, I want a glass of water. No. I want you to empathize with me. I, too, know what it feels like to be thirsty. All right, she's saying in the chat, it's written down, I don't want a gift.
Say, you got to apply some pressure, put her on the air, Hannah, 833-288-0973, and let everybody know that you don't want anything.
Yeah, I'd like to have that actually in verbal conversation for the lawyers later, if it gets to that point. So I'll be thinking about that for the next 72, but I want to talk about our beloved Paulie, who has had such a gnarly week. I didn't know this the other day, but we were texting him before, it was Tuesday, and we said, hey, what's, Major's coming in tomorrow, which was yesterday. Is there anything else we need? Did you hear back from so-and-so? Paulie's like, I've literally been at the vet for like 7 hours. You were at the vet with your dog Daphne for 7 hours.
It was like 4 hours there. Then we left, went home for a couple of hours, had to go back
to get her up. Those are never fun days.
No, she's had some blood issues over the last couple of years that we've managed, and she's been fine. She was actually doing really, really well. And then she got into some trash or something. She ate something she was not supposed to.
Imagine every time we ate something we weren't supposed to, we had to go to the vet.
Yeah.
Or the doctor.
Right. Like, you're like, it's life or death.
No, it's through the trash again.
Yeah, you eat a donut and it's a life or death situation.
Might as well be.
That was not fun. The tell-all with Daphne is food. If she ever rejects food, I'm like, well, it's time to put her down.
Yeah.
Like, that is, she is a psychopath with food. And
well,
so
imagine if you had to put your kids down every time they rejected food. I would have zero kids. Zero kids. Like, well, all right. They didn't eat. What do you want me to do?
Yeah. So on Tuesday, after several hours of her not looking well, not feeling well, and we tried to give her some food and she turned it away and was like disgusted by it, I go, yeah, it's time to go to the vet.
Yeah.
And so that was a long, expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Expensive day.
She's
doing much better. But then that led to what happened yesterday, because you can't have just one bad day in a row.
I just don't know that the vet can fix that. My dog eats things she's not supposed to. And then you could tell she's got a stomach ache and she won't eat her food.
Yeah.
And so, I just say, well, you deserved it. You ate what you ate, and eventually eventually she will
hope
go outside and barf it all up, and then she'll feel much better. And that's just how it always progresses. And it's like, okay, fine. You know what? You ate it. You got into the trash. You ate the big foil wrapped whatever, and
now
it's got to all come out some way, one way or the other, and I'll have to clean it up eventually, but you're going to have to suffer until it's out. That was your fault.
Yeah,
Ben is an elite pet owner. Pet owner.
You deserve animals, as you can tell.
You deserve it. He sees a squirrel that gets run over. Yeah, you deserve it. You were running in the street.
Don't run in front
of the car. You know how that doesn't happen to? Guy that doesn't run in the street. Amazing. So you had to go. Yeah, that's all. So it's all done. She's okay.
Yeah, she had pancreatitis, which is just an inflammation
standard,
of the pancreas.
Standard.
They gave her some fluid. She's feeling better. She'll be fine.
So this is the one that got me, though, because this kind of crap happens to me all the time, and probably for good reason, more than Paulie. And I want the tier one's help on this.
Bro.
Because we are kind of kicking around, how does this stuff happen?
It's the eighth inning of the game. I'm in bed. I'm finishing work on the iPad. I'm ready to shut this mother down. Didn't know that the Padres are about to lose in a walk-off fashion. And I get a call from my bank. Now, I didn't recognize the call, so I let it go to voicemail. Looked like spam. Read the voicemail. This is Mission Fred fraud detection, and we need you to call us immediately. Okay. Give them a call. I find out that my card had been charged 5 times. For various amounts between $100 and $250 a pop.
Yeah, keep it like kind of nice and low, you may not notice.
Yeah, you don't go for like the $1,000 purchase.
Right.
You got to see what works. So it was about $600 worth of charges to my account. And they said, was this you? And I go, I have no idea. They were all labeled on my statement on the app as the exact same thing,
yep,
for different prices. And I go, that, I have no idea what that is. It said Pilot.
Pilot. Pilot, you know, is a gas station.
Yeah.
Yeah, like those big truck stop. Yeah.
Station. I've never seen one because they don't have them around here.
Yeah.
She goes, there were all these gas stations in Weed, California.
Weed, California. Well, I think I know who
I was making this up.
I think I know who our number one suspect is.
Oh.
If it's in Weed, California, it can only be one person.
Loose Cannabis?
There he is. What'd you do, USOB?
Loose Cannabis, California?
Ganja, a.k.a. Cannabis.
Ganja, California.
Did you get into his wallet and drive up to Weed, California on some sort of weird, perverted trip or something?
Just get a bunch of munchy snacks.
It's the doorway to Mount Shasta, everybody. I mean, what beautiful country up there at the top of the state.
So
I don't know. They don't know how this happened. Obviously, nobody. I saw my card. Well, I broke it down, cut it up yesterday because I got to get a new card today. And they don't know what happened. They're like, did you give your card to anybody? I'm like, no, of course not. So I was hacked. It was something cyber.
So it was all the same Pilot gas station,
it was,
right?
You know, what happens, and this happened to me many years ago. I had like hundreds of dollars of charges at a Walmart in Louisiana, and they called and said,
spliff a busset enemy hit.
And there's a lot of ways it can happen. They have the skimmers on the, like the gas station, readers where they steal your information when you're just paying for gas somewhere and you don't know it. And then they sell it to someone else, you know. And,
so they'll take all the numbers. Some slickster puts it on a fake debit card with it. Then somebody goes into weed, gets gas, gets some groceries.
That's what I thought happened. I'm like, do they make like a dummy card?
Yeah.
Because I was asking my wife, I'm like, literally, like, how does this work? How does this happen? Okay, you hack into my account, whether, I don't know, your credit card, your debit card, your bank account, they're attached to so many electronic payments now. It's impossible to know where it came from. Was it Venmo?
And there are black market devices where they create a card. Now, it won't look like a real card, I don't think, but there's so many places where you don't show it to anyone. Just self-checkouts.
Everybody must get
whether it's at a gas station or, you know, even at places now, you just type into a screen and then do your card yourself. And if it, you know, the numbers are right, it'll charge.
But if I, you know, have so much loose cannabis that I got to go to Pilot gas station to buy $125 worth of snacks, you can't walk in and just be like, can you manually enter this card number? Yeah, it's 4742. Yeah. You know, that's not how it works.
No,
you have to have
not.
An actual card.
Correct.
So I'm like, how? But it wasn't worth trying to figure it out. It had already happened. Had to file the claim and get the money back in like 2 weeks. And then now I get to go to a branch after the show.
Yep.
After the roundtable.
Oh, yeah.
Go to the bank.
But none of that's the worst part.
Oh, this is the worst part, is getting the
worst
new card.
By far is this part.
And I tried to like justify it in my head. I was like, my card expired at the end of the year anyways. I was going to have to do this. But at least you have a little bit of heads up. You have to go and change your online digital payment for literally everything. Amazon Prime, Netflix, DoorDash, like anything you have ever used, your Apple Wallet, you got to update it all. And I'm like, that's just going to be the worst.
That's the worst part. I just, you know what I do now? I just wait until something gets kicked back, then I update it. I can't sit and go through and like, what else do I have?
I'll probably sit down and knock out a few of the first ones that come to mind, and then the rest are going to be like, hey, this charge didn't go through.
So I didn't know this. Adam says that's why they tell you to tap instead of swipe. I had no idea.
The chips are safer because they can't get skimmed by those devices.
My chip was like not great over the last 6 to 12 months where it would work sometimes, but most of the times they tap, it's not working. You want to try it again? It's still not working.
Try
and then
swiping.
You insert it and then it works.
Yeah.
Man, I'm sorry. It's such a beating, dude. Yeah. Just one of those weeks, man, which means there's nowhere to go but up, Paulie. Nowhere to go but up.
I sure hope so.
And I think we could say the same about the San Diego Padres. Nowhere to go but up.
We will get into it. We will set the menu for the program. Got a couple of guests for you today. We'll tell you all about it. Of course, it is also a Roundtable Thursday. So we are here in
Ganja, a.k.a. Cannabis.
11 a.m. Yeah, we might need a little to get through the next 4 hours and 40 minutes here. It's Ben. And
I like a blunt or a big fat bowl.
Please no.
We know who the first suspect is.
Yeah,
Ben and Woods and Paul. Kelly's got Travis.
I'm not a drug dealer.
That's right.
You're
a credit card thief.
No, the only thing I'm pushing on you is Prize Picks right now.
You're a crumb
creep. I'm pushing Prize Picks. I do enjoy playing a little daily fantasy, and I feel good at Prize Picks. There are millions of members. It's good to be part of a big club. People are having fun. People are winning real money with daily fantasy sports. All you have to do is pick more or less on between 2 and 6 players. So set a big lineup to win really big. Set a small lineup, better chance of winning. Don't win quite as much. You play the way you want. You run your own game. But you can win up to 2,000 times your cash with Prize Picks. Right now, basketball season, games every night. And, of course, baseball season, my favorite, because there are so many games, so many options, whether it's pitcher strikeouts, player hits plus runs plus RBI. You can set your lineups with different teams. Whatever you're watching, put that lineup together and win real money, legal in over 30 states, including here in California. Watch sports, win prizes, win money with Prize Picks. Check out Flex Fridays as well to opt in. You get some extra chance to win on special days if you look at those lineups. So use the code KWFN when you download. Get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Again, $50 instantly with your first $5 lineup with the code KWFN at Prize Picks. Run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. Welcome back to the San Diego Padres. Sean Reynolds returned to the roster last night. Did not get into the game. Maybe he should have. Will be good to see him back, though. Padres' bullpen, it's weird. Obviously, the last 2 days, Woods, have been unlike the rest of the season. They've had leads late. First two times all year, they've had a lead after the seventh inning and not won the game.
That's tough. That's tough. You know, it's tough to stomach. It's not something that's sustainable the entire season,
no, but,
obviously.
But in many ways, the bullpen is only getting stronger now. They're getting
getting guys back.
Yeah. They're deeper than they were at the start of the year. This is still the best bullpen in all of baseball by ERA. Still by a few runs, even after giving up 10 in game two of the series, and then three yesterday. Of course, the one in the 10th inning was not an earned run because they got the free runner on second base. But still, the best bullpen in baseball, and they gave up a couple of wins that they could have had the last couple of days in New York, which is very frustrating.
It's like any sport, man. You're only as good as your last outing, right? You're only as good as your last game, pretty much. And look, at the end of the season, you know, the you look at the totality of what everybody's done. Was it enough to get you to the promised land? They certainly got off to a hot start. I don't get the sense, too, that, like, they were overused or anything like that. I think they've actually done a really good job being judicious with who pitches and when. It's why you kind of saw, you know, Wandy come in the other night. And again, I thought it lined up well. Again, I don't think there was any major mismanagement. I think the processes this week, Ben, were good. I think execution was poor in some instances, which will absolutely happen throughout the course of 162. I was pretty sulky about this one for about, like Pete Fairbanks, it was about 16 minutes of sulk. And then I got back on the bump, which by the bump, I mean I got in bed and went to sleep.
Nobody likes it when you lose. You know, you got body, 9-1. I don't mind those.
I didn't mind it at all.
Yesterday
it's like, hey, man,
sucked.
I tipped my cap. You guys had a great inning. Our guys didn't come through. Yesterday was one of those, again, May 8th or May 7th. One of those, it's like just that little dagger right to your heart.
I thought the whole series felt like a playoff series.
It really
did. As much as May can. Even the blowout was a really good game
until
for seven innings or whatever. Yesterday's game, that's the one that you're like, that stung. That I hate how that game ended.
Sure.
But that was a fun game to watch.
We got some strategy that we want to discuss as well. We're not arguing at all. We're just kind of trying to parse out why teams do the things that they do, or more importantly, why don't teams do some things, right, that maybe they could do? Obviously, the hindsight machine is fired up real good today, as it usually is after a loss. We will be crawling inside the hindsight bin and taking a look. And, yeah, man, it just stunk. It stunk. And we'll give credit where credit is due, certainly. But man, I wanted that one last night. To win that series would have been really special.
Yeah, we'll get into it in our Padres crap up next, which is kind of unfair. I thought the Padres played a good game yesterday. So did the Yankees. And, you know, sometimes you play a good game and you don't win in Major League Baseball. But
I also want to talk about extra innings.
Yes, that's the other thing. Thank you for bringing that up. I'm flip-flopped, like the politician that I am.
All right, we will get into that. We have, Paulie's done a lot of work. You may have seen it online yesterday, but John Boy came out with his lip reading spectacular of
awesome.
Mike Schilt's ejection from game one of the series on Monday. And we've got some highlights edited for your radio consumption coming up in our 7 o'clock hour. At 7:35, Sam Levitt will join us. He was all over the postgame show with the Dylan Cease injury news, what Mike Schilt had to say, what Dylan Cease had to say in the clubhouse. Spoiler alert, fairly good news based on everything that's coming out. A little early, obviously, they'll reevaluate
Dylan
today.
Cease.
But it looks like fairly good news, even though Dylan Cease had to come out of the game there in the seventh inning. So we'll get an update from Sammy Levitt, who was all over it last night. And then it is a Smart Baseball Thursday coming up at 8:35. Eno Saris from The Athletic will join us to talk baseball around the league and what's going on. And then our regular features, Don't Do This. We got a Real or Fake on a Throwback Thursday. Plus, the Rindle Report and another Padres ticket giveaway for next week's Padres Angels Throwback Reversible Bucket Hat night that they're going to have at Petco Park. So you'll have a chance to win some Padres tickets. And then right into the roundtable at 10 o'clock. So a very busy morning here on Ben and Woods. We will get into it with some details of last night's Heartbreaking. 4-3, 10-inning loss to the New York Yankees. That is coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
But trust Ben and I when we tell you that trust and will work for you. And it's easy. It's an easy process. I think everybody listening out there, especially if you have a family, need to make sure you get your trust and or will set up. Do it today. Do it online. Keep it easy for yourself by going to trustandwill.com.
I trust that it will work because it already did work.
That's
for
right.
us. Process was very simple.
Super.
I answered some questions online. They kind of go through it very simple, step by step. It's like doing your taxes online, but way easier. And then at the end of the process, you've got legal documents that they will ship to you. And when you use the code FAN at checkout, you're going to get free shipping and 20% off. They're already reasonable prices, which is way less than what you'd pay if you were going to a lawyer
yeah.
and setting these up in an office with billable hours. So keep that in mind. Same peace of mind, though. When you have the documents, you've got the documents, which is why Trust and Will, I think, is so genius.
It's a really brilliant way to handle something like this, something that you really don't want to think about, but you really have to. It's one of those kind of fears that you have to face. So go to trustandwill.com. Use the code FAN when you check out for 20% off and free shipping of your estate documents. It's trustandwill.com.
I know I'm going to sound a little like Mike Schilt. But there was a lot of good in that game yesterday.
Yeah, there was. There was a lot of good, man.
In the game yesterday. I don't want it to get completely lost because we will be focusing on
The negative,
the stuff that led to the loss at the end. And I think there's some interesting discussions, strategic discussions.
Like a bloody beer, Jerry.
But there was a lot of good in the game yesterday, and I want to make sure that we point that out. We'll get to all of it. Coming up in our Padres crap-up after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
From the 855 Get Ross Traffic Center, protecting San Diego after accidents or injury, here's Kelly Danik.
Traffic is sponsored by City Cruises. Not too bad of a start on our roads. We have one problem here. Looks like the Imperial on-ramp to South 805. Stalled car over to the right shoulder. Set sail with Randy Houser as he lights up the bay for an exclusive concert cruise like no other. Join us on Friday, May 23rd with City Cruises live in San Diego for an epic night of country music, dinner, drinks, and skyline views. Get tickets now at citycruises.com/live. I'm Kelly Danik with Ben and Woods, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
You got a problem.
A shame indeed.
I couldn't agree more.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
What the heck happened?
Are you kidding me?
Can't even believe it.
It's the Padres
crap up.
Presented by Hamul Casino. Things are about to get real with the all-new Hamul Casino Resort. With gorgeous rooms and exciting new eats and drinks. It gets real this summer at Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, get back on the bump and figure it out.
1-1. And Goldschmidt grounds it to third base. Manny over towards the line, has it on the backhand. One-footed throw is perfect and in time. Manny, two down here in the fourth.
If I had a star, it would have been thrown out there.
So two outs, nobody on. Jackson Merrill, the batter. He swings at the first pitch, hammers it in the air. Deep to right field. Judge is back to watch. This one, gonna go into the bullpen in right. And Jackson Merrill's first since coming off the IL. His fourth of the season. Well over 400 feet into the bullpen in right center. And the Padres take a 1-0 lead. They got him 0-2. Now Cease will deal. And a swing and a miss. Got him to chase a slider. Running away this time. And Aaron Judge strikes out for the third time tonight. That is a season-high 8 strikeouts for Dylan Cease. Cease will turn and deliver the 0-2 to Bellinger. Swung on, hit in the air, deep to right field. Hernando is back. He will watch. It will go. First hit of the night for the Yankees is a game-tying homer here in the bottom of the 7th inning for Cody Bellinger. Merrill swings, lines it towards the left center field gap, and that's down a base hit. Bellinger's got to play it on a hop. Fernando's going to come in to score as the throw goes into second base. Jackson Merrill strikes again, and the Padres lead it 2-1. First pitch, Xander swings, laces it into center field. Bellinger going to catch it on a line, tagging at third. Machado on his way. Here's the throw, cut by Goldschmidt, and a sac fly for Xander to extend the lead. It's 3-1. And he hits it in the air this time down the right field line. Hernando is back, and Grisham has done it again. His second home run of the series, and this one ties us 3-3 in the eighth. And Ascara swings, hits it in the air towards the left field corner. Long run. Hayward on the move, gets there to make the catch, but that is plenty deep enough. Dominguez will tag and score, and J.C. Ascara, at 30 years old in only his 12th Major League game, a walk-off sacrifice fly as the Yankees take their first lead of the night and win it 4-3 in extras.
Mike, what's the word on Dylan?
Just now getting feedback on it. You know, the training staff's not overly concerned, a little bit of cramp. He evaluated, you know, he wanted to keep pitching. You know, first of all, let's start with the fact that he threw the ball fantastic. You know, I mean, legitimate no-hit stuff.
Yeah, Dylan Cease goes 6 2/3 innings, 9 strikeouts, 1 hit, 2 walks in what was by far his best start of the season. But it wasn't enough as the Padres fall to the New York Yankees 4-3. Cease, of course, leaving the game with what they are calling just a cramp in his forearm. You saw him flexing his hand as he came off the field.
Kind of nodding, going forearm cramp. You could kind of read his lips. I saw forearm, and I went back and I saw forearm cramp.
I didn't see cramp the first time, and I go, oh, there goes the season.
Yeah, you start squeezing that, and it's like, oh, cool. Those are all your tendons going up your arm into your elbow, and you're done. But he was, you know, as soon as they talked about it on the broadcast, too. When they panned to him and he was still sitting there and he's kind of like smiling and guys were coming up and dapping him up, checking on him. He seemed fine.
I felt okay at that moment.
Me too. He was fantastic, man.
You also, I mean, you know, not a doctor, but you know, dehydration can lead to some cramping. He was sweating pretty big last night. You saw they talked on the broadcast about how sopping his uniform was, and it wasn't raining last night. He was just kind of just into it and working up a good lather there. So maybe a dehydration issue that caused a cramp. Let's hope that that's all it is. Because if that's the case, and Dylan Cease has found, you know, something that gets him locked in for a while, that's a huge win for the San Diego Padres.
No question about it, Manny. We said it yesterday on the show. Go out. Have some fun tonight. Free and easy. Go let it eat, man. You got the nasty stuff. 99 top of the zone to Judge. I mean, he embarrassed Aaron Judge. He was nasty last night. And those are unequivocally my favorite type of baseball games. Two stud pitchers with elite stuff going back and forth. Jackson Merrill touching up Zach Fried. And again, I just saw in the chat.
Max Fried.
I'm sorry, what did I say?
Zach Fried.
I have lost my mind.
I don't know
who
Zach Fried is.
I've lost my mind. Merrill touching up Max Fried. And then, so they're just trading blows back and forth. Who's better? Somebody just said in the chat, too, well, offense didn't have his back. Brother, Max Fried was 6-0 with a 1.01 ERA. He's pretty good, too. He's pretty good. You know, he's on Cy Young pace right now. This is two guys going back and forth, two prize fighters, Benny, training blows. Who's going to blink? And those are my favorite kind of baseball games. Would have loved that win. We deserved that win. I think we played better than them. But we didn't. It didn't go our way. And I was pissed about it for about 10 minutes. And I went, man, that was a good one. That was a good little tilt last night.
The defense was outstanding. You heard Manny's play there. There was also a couple of nice catches by Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, a lot of good in the game. But, of course, it comes down to executing in the clutch. Padres had some chances with
they
runners
sure
on
did,
base.
Man.
I mean, the Yankees really had no chances. Their top four guys in their lineup, 0 for 16, 5 strikeouts, did not reach base. Padres top four in their lineup, 5 for 16, 3 runs scored, 2 RBI, a home run, 3 walks. I mean, you look at that, and you're going to say Padres probably won by 8 or 9 in a game like that. But, you know, bottom of the lineup, they had a couple of chances, and they came through when they needed to. Cody Bellinger's game-tying home run that broke up the no-hitter. Not a bad pitch. 98 up above the zone.
Above the zone.
And give Cody Bellinger some credit. He turned on it. He's a good big league player.
Also a former Dodger, so you kind of knew that was coming.
He's been doing it for years, not, you know, hitting 215. You didn't expect him to do it, but I don't think Dylan Cease really missed on that pitch. That's your strike. That was his strikeout pitch all day long. 98 up there by the eyes, and Cody got it. So that was the one quote unquote mistake that Dylan Cease made.
He really was fantastic. I mean, again, no hitter, you know, for what?
Into the seventh.
He was fantastic.
Dude. And then Jackson Merrill comes through again. This kid comes right off the injured list and two straight games.
This is Jackson Merrill.
Delivering again in the clutch. Two go-ahead hits again. I mean, he is unbelievable, this 22-year-old. Padres take the 3-1 lead, and they've got their best bullpen guys set up.
Adam feels so good.
And Suarez ready to go.
Estrada.
And really, when it comes to the mistake, the one I think we can all agree on, and even Jason Adams said after the game, walking Oswaldo Cabrera to lead off the bottom of the eighth inning.
Kind of felt it at that point when that happened. I went, oh, Jason, you can't, that cannot happen. If all Oswaldo, what's his name, Pereira?
Cabrera.
If Oswaldo Cabrera gets me, if he gets me, then he gets me. BFD, right?
And he's not even the tying run.
Correct. I still have the lead. And then you get to Trent Grisham. And again, I know that we like to lament former Padres doing damage against us. It's a thing for sure. Let's be honest though. It's probably a thing for a lot of teams in baseball. You know, we're definitely in a vacuum and a bubble here. So it happens to a lot of teams. When you trade as many pieces away, it's bound to happen to your team more. At least you feel that way. But Benny, you know, I was gotten to a Twitter beef, shocker, with a guy last night by the name of Lou Sassol. Don't say it fast.
Okay.
Lou Sassol. I doubt it's his real name.
Okay.
We went back and forth a little bit, and he said, you know, you can't.
Lou?
Lou? Sassol. Say it fast, Paulie. Not on the mic. Turn the mic off. Yeah. Lou Sassol. And we are going back and forth, and he said, you can't throw a hot Trent Grisham, a changeup. And I said, that's his best pitch. Like, that's Jason Adams' best pitch. I'm absolutely fine getting beaten on my best pitch. Now, the location was not great, kind of floated middle in, but he said, well, you got to throw a fastball there to Trent Grisham. And I said, well, Trent Grisham, I looked up his numbers, Ben. All of his home runs have been on fastballs, every single one. I'm not trying to be a jerk, and I'm not trying to be a know-it-all. What I'm trying to tell you is these guys aren't guessing out there. They're not going by, there's science behind this. There's numbers behind this. There's reasons why they do the things they do. That's all I'm saying in that regard. He has homered on exclusively fastballs this season. Last night, if those numbers are updated after the game, and I think they are, that was the first homer, Ben, on a breaking ball or an off-speed pitch all season. There's a reason that they do it. Now, four straight changeups, okay, interesting choice. That being said, he missed his location, but he threw his best pitch.
It was up. I mean, he missed it slightly off the plate inside, which a changeup. Usually the damage is foul. You know, they get out in front of it, but Grisham did a great job getting his hands in, keeping that ball fair. So I'm going to give Trent Grisham some credit. I will question the sequencing, at least, in terms of kind of that same changeup inside. Grisham had some looks at it. You could miss with a fastball if you wanted to go off the plate, something a little more outside just to change his eye level. I could argue that. I would not have challenged Trent Grisham with a fastball.
But again,
because he's probably looking. I thought he might be looking for a fastball there.
But again, maybe Trent Grisham at that point, maybe Jason Adam didn't mean for it to leak where it leaked.
No, he wanted
it
down. He wanted it buried a little bit lower. He definitely missed on the pitch.
Yep.
As by the way, every pitcher does on several pitches during the game.
And I don't.
Sometimes they get away. Well, oftentimes they get away with a bit of a miss.
And I'll say this again, man. If you beat me with my best pitch, I'm okay. I can live with that. If I throw you my second or my third best pitch and you get me, that's on me. I can always sleep well at night knowing, bro, I threw a changeup. It didn't do what I wanted to, but the changeup's my best pitch. I'm okay. You know, I can live with that, and I think Mike Schilt too. But again, I just want to reiterate, there are reasons why they throw the pitches that they do. They're not like, what do you think here? It's not like Major League. Well, let's see what the kid feels about the old number one. You know, there's a reason behind how they go after guys, and it just didn't work last night. And Trent Grisham got you. And, oh, man. But again, you still had a chance to win that game. And then you get to the 10th inning. And the 10th inning is, The 10th inning made my stomach turn. It really did. You've got the ideal situation if you're the San Diego Padres, Ben. You've got Lockridge, fastest guy on the team, standing at second base. You got to get him in. You got to get him over, and you got to get him in. And boy, Tatis, Manny, and Xander didn't come through. Not even close. I mean, three of the worst ABs I think I've seen from those guys concurrently or almost concurrently all season long. Those were not great ABs, particularly Fernando's being the leadoff guy in that.
Now, I will disagree with people who say, well, Fernando needs to bunt him over.
No,
there.
You do not want him to bunt.
Take the bat out of Fernando Tatis Jr.'s
hands.
Well,
not only that, but with this rule, the ghost runner, you're the visiting team. You got to play for more than one. And that's what's missing with this ghost runner thing. And I think I was in favor of it originally when they first did it, because I said my logic was this. My logic was, if your team is in a pennant race, you don't want a bunch of 13, 14, 15-inning games. It's going to save your bullpen, which is so important, as we've all seen. We all saw how the Dodgers won a World Series last year. How'd they do it? They won it with their bullpen. They had no starting pitching. They won it with their bullpen. My logic, I think, was sound at the time. Now I watch these games, I go, this sucks. This sucks. I don't like this. Because it values the home team so much more. So much more.
So, yeah, Fernando strikes out, and then Luis Arraez walks. Manny strikes out. And, you know, Diesel in the chat says that Padres fixed Devin Williams. Devin Williams was throwing good changeups. They were moving. The airbender was moving. But he still couldn't locate the fastball. And I think the frustrating part for me is if you can eliminate one of the pitches, one of the two pitches essentially he's throwing, I feel like that should give the advantage to the hitter, and the Padres didn't take advantage. Jackson Merrill gets hit. Bases are loaded for Xander Bogaerts. He fights back to a 3-2 count. The 2-2 pitch was a non-competitive fastball way outside. I felt like, okay, I'm channeling it. I'm thinking the changeup is coming, Xander. If it's low, lay off of it. It's going to drop below the zone, and you will force in a run. But he just could not lay off of it. It was a good pitch. Technically, it was a ball. What would the umpire have called? I don't know. It was one of those really close ones, but, you know, they weren't hitting it, so maybe you should have tried to lay off of that pitch from Devin Williams in that situation.
So much easier said than done,
so
my friend.
So easy to say.
I mean,
yeah.
He was hitting 95 with that heater, and again, you know, the arm action is the same. The arm action is the same, and that ball goes out of the zone. But really, I mean, you know, some really bad ABs by the guys that you needed to come through, and that's exactly what you want. And guess what? Come Friday night, that same situation, I want those same guys up there.
Yeah.
I want those guys up
Manny's
there.
Manny's red hot. Merrill's red hot. Bogaerts is red. I mean, been really hot this week. They didn't come through. We'll discuss this game more coming up next year on The Fan.